From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. There are lots of new restaurants in downtown Salt Lake City as the dining scene continues to evolve and improve, rivaling many cities that are larger than ours. Joining me today is Scott Evans. Scott is a celebrated restaurateur in Salt Lake City. He has recently moved Finca from the Liberty Heights neighborhood to downtown Salt Lake City. We'll talk about this Spanish tapas restaurant, what to expect when you go to Finca, and the evolution of dining in Utah's capital city. All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today, my friend Scott Evans. Scott and I have been friends for a long time, since before I worked at the Downtown Alliance, yes. I think. Yeah. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. You are really one of the most celebrated restaurateurs in town. I think people know you. They know what you do. They're excited about it. But maybe share with our listeners a little bit about how you got to this place.
Yeah, so kind of what a lot of people do in Utah. I grew up in Salt Lake City. Family lived at other places in L.A. My dad lived in L.A. my whole life, and he grew up in a restaurant. His father owned one. Yeah. It was called The Hub. It was a diner in Minneapolis. So I think somehow that's just the bug was in my father. He never wanted to work in a restaurant ever again, but he loved dining in them and taking me to restaurants. So I think that, you know, really kind of put that seed into me at some point, and I decided to, you know, first job. For some reason, I considered a restaurant, and I've kind of been stuck ever since. Pleasantly stuck ever since. And also, like, the Salt Lake lifestyle of really enjoying the mountains.
Yeah.
You know, I was a hardcore snowboarder my entire life, 20 years. Used to go every single day and still like to, but now I can't go as often as I'd like. And it hurts more when I fall.
Yeah, yeah.
In the end, that's what kind of got me into restaurants. I ended up finding the time to enjoy the mountains every day, and restaurants were a great way to make some income when I was
snowboarding during the day.
Allowed me to snowboard, allowed me to study. And then as I got more and more into restaurants, kept getting promoted from server to manager. And finally, I think it was 2002, I decided to apply. I was like, well, since I keep getting promoted, I might as well try to apply for a manager job. And went over and managed the Garden Cafe at the Grand America
Hotel. Oh, nice.
So from that point forward, it got serious pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And learned more about fine dining. My sister was living in New York City, and it was just a great avenue to visit her every year and just dine, learn the top restaurants in the country. And just really spent a lot of time dining out. And
that's a tough thing.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And that's something that she had the same bug that I had. So she, you know, same father. So we both somehow fell into loving to go out to eat. And that was a way that we all connected. And so, you know, from dining, it felt natural to kind of get a job in the industry and start working my way up. And once I started appreciating what I thought were the best in each different category with fine dining, casual, ethnic restaurants, kind of had a vision for what I wanted to offer to Salt Lake. And that first vision was Pago.
Yeah. And you know that, you know, I'm a fan of Pago, and it also killed me that it wasn't in the heart of our city because it's such a great restaurant. Yeah. It's really awesome in the ninth area. You know, Pago, I don't know, when I say it, it sounds a little bit flippant because I know how hard you work and how difficult it is to put yourself out there and to run a restaurant. Mm-hmm. But to an outsider, from outside appearances, hit it out of the ballpark right off the bat. People love it. It's intimate. It's beautiful. Great food. Great wine. You just really nailed it. And I think, as you've indicated, a lot of that came from years of experience working at the Garden Cafe or at Squatters. That's how I first knew you, when you were working at Squatters. But a lot goes into running a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. It's you have to be a touch crazy just to do it.
Yeah.
But in the same time, if you're passionate enough about something, if you love it, it doesn't feel like work. Sometimes it doesn't mean it's not exhausting.
Right.
In the end, it really doesn't feel like too much work because I think about it and, you know, my wife teases me because the only books I've read in the last 10 years are food and wine books. It's like, why don't you get a book? Why don't you read something for fun? It's like, I have to learn more. I still have to study. I have to keep working. So, but it feels like pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, trying to
Keep on top of
everything. There's a lot of, it's a dynamic industry, and that's exciting. And you know, in the end, I travel quite a bit to constantly try to be inspired with what I do, and that part is pretty amazing. Had a chance to go to Italy a couple times, Spain every year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so let's maybe talk a little bit about Spain, because that really became sort of the theme of Finca, next restaurant that you had opened up as well. You really focused on Spanish cuisine, and what made you what was the decision? How did that happen? What did you decide?
Why Finca?
Okay.
So Finca, a lot of it was my passion for Spain. So one of the first places I. You know, like a lot of people, their college times, they go to Europe.
Yeah.
And I went to Europe for 6 months and backpacked around and, you know, brought a skateboard in the backpack. And the place that I loved the most out of everywhere was Spain. And I ended up spending about a month there.
Nice.
And, you know, so I just got struck by that food and the culture, the lifestyle, and the way they eat and they dine. It's so pleasurable.
Yeah.
It's such a sharing endeavor. And the flavors, I thought, were very unique to what a lot of restaurants in the U.S., not only Salt Lake, but in the United States, Spanish tapas are not that common. And
right.
Especially when we opened in 2012. Surprisingly, from 2012 to now, there's been at least 10 top restaurants and major markets that have been Spanish tapas.
So yeah. You were ahead of the curve a little bit.
Yeah, surprisingly, but yeah. Little Salt Lake City, but... It just felt like those flavors and that style of dining was not represented well in the U.S. Hence, that's the reason why I decided to do Fincas. Share Spanish food, culture, lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
The small plates make sense to people right now, and they never really did. You know, it was at Zola.
Yeah, I remember Zola went, the top floor of Squatters.
Yeah, and it was a great place.
It's beautiful.
But small plates.
Yeah.
But also, even at that time, I think it was around 2006, maybe 2008.
A little before its time, maybe.
You know, the dining community wasn't aware of the word small plates or tapas. They'd heard of tapas, but they didn't really know how what to do in a tapas.
I think people often thought it was topless. I think people would say it's a tapas bar, and they would
exactly
be like, wait a minute, I'm not sure.
I can't tell you how many people at Pago when I was opening Finca, they'd ask, oh, you're opening another restaurant. It's like, yeah, well, what are you doing? I'm going to do a tapas restaurant. I get a big,
a little concern.
And then lean back and like, oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. I didn't see you as that guy, but whatever. Yeah. That's good.
Tapa, not tapa.
Okay, so now the thing that I'm the most excited about, you've actually brought Finca downtown to Second South. And maybe if you can just talk a little bit about your decision and then describe for people what you have created in this really beautiful space.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so basically, when I consider opening new restaurants, there's a couple ways I go about it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I have the idea. Sometimes I have the location, and I tailor the idea to the location. Pago, I had the general idea of farm to table, what I wanted to do and how I wanted to source the ingredients, and I wanted to find the perfect neighborhood for that.
Yeah.
For me at the time was 9th and 9th, which is where I worked in that same building when it was Park Ivy.
Oh, wow, cool.
So it was kind of coming home, comforting to open my first restaurant and one of my first management jobs. So that was why Pago was created. So Finca, I had the concept, and then I was approached to a couple different spaces that I thought were compelling, and ended up deciding upon the 11th and 13th building that we were previously located at. But when I wrote the business plan for Finca, originally it was downtown.
Yeah.
Because a big part of Spanish dining is late night.
Yeah.
A big focus on sharing beverages in the evening.
Very metropolitan,
very
sophisticated.
Very
urban,
yeah, very urban and very late night. So in the end, I wanted Finca to be downtown. Didn't find the right building, the right space, the right circumstance, and opened it near where Pago is. And then when I had a chance, our lease was a 3-year lease, and we had a chance to choose again. You know, what if we could choose again where we put Finca? Where would we choose it? You know, where would we go? And it was definitely downtown is where we want to be. We were fortunate enough to purchase the building.
Wow.
Well, not the whole building; it's 4 stories.
Sure.
Our floor and the basement. We would have stayed in the space if we didn't find the right building to purchase, because
right.
there's not that many perfect spaces for restaurants at least that you can afford.
Yeah.
And so that was really the criteria. Find the right space that fit the concept in the right place. Downtown was the only place we were looking for Finca to move.
Yeah.
And when we found this beautiful 110-year-old building that was gutted, looked very intimidating when you walked in the door. It was just in such disrepair.
It hadn't been occupied for 7 years,
yeah,
I think.
Roughly 7 years. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was vacant. And they had the auctioneer pull everything out, so it just looked like a little overwhelming, and it was a mess. So before and after pictures are pretty amazing. But essentially, saw that space, felt right, and then we decided it's big. You know, it's a big space.
It's a huge space.
It's a big building. And we really wanted to find out a way to break up that space in a way that we thought would still be true to the concept, true to what Finca does, what we're good at.
So from an outside perspective, I would say it is big, but it feels incredibly intimate. You don't feel like you're in a big cavernous space. You feel very close to the people that you might be dining with. Mm-hmm. It's a very comfortable, cozy space, even for as large as it is. Like, I really think you guys hit it out of the ballpark with that.
Oh, thanks. And that's two things that came up was, one, I knew I wanted to have Charming Beard, which is now La Barba by Charming Beard. We talked about partnering with a coffee shop in one of our locations. And I had them hold. I was like, hold, I have something in the works. So we're not going to do it yet, but let's – it was the first thing in my mind is how do I separate the space? And that was one,
right,
having Charming Beard open up their first retail location,
right,
which is now La Barba. And then the other thing was hiring a design firm. We've done all of our own design for the previous restaurants and loved doing it, but we felt like we needed to have a really – talented group of people to help us separate the space and create the right feel and just tackle it all because it's so, you know, it's so big. So we hired City Home Collective,
yeah,
and Cody and Lauren to help us out, and really wanted to model the experience off of when you walk into a grand hotel and there's a beautiful lobby.
Yeah.
There's couches, there's a casual, you know, seating area at the beginning, whether you're waiting for a table or you want a lighter meal, mm-hmm, an appetizer and a drink, a top and a drink. And then there's a coffee shop to the left, so in a large kind of bar feel, loungy feel, you know, walk into the right, lounge, bar, waiting area, kind of luxurious, you know, reduce the number of seats there. So a total capacity was 250 seats, and we reduced it by about 100.
Wow.
To give it the right feel, to make it feel spacious, open.
And comfortable.
And comfortable,
yeah,
and really not trying to maximize the tables, you know, because that 150 is great for us.
That's a good size restaurant.
We have two private dining rooms, so that was a natural fit too. We do a lot of private events. We have one, you know, Babs Delay is doing their
Urban Homes Utah.
Urban Homes Utah.
Babs,
doing their holiday party
today. A frequent guest of this program, yeah, actually. Good.
Yes,
good.
Yeah. So she's her office has one of our private dining rooms today, and we're just, you know, we love, you know, having those large groups, giving them a private space that's, you know, walkable. She's a neighbor.
Yeah.
The group walked over. And that was a huge need. We had a small room at the previous location that was very well utilized. So all those little components, we could see it break down, feel manageable, and with the help of City Home Collective, create the, you know, really distinct vibes that all tie in together. It gives you that experience where I picture, you know, this nice urban experience where you come in, you're going to a jazz game, you pre-jazz, you get an appetizer and a cocktail. And then you go to the jazz game, you have your hot dog or whatever,
right,
and then you come back for dessert and coffee.
Yeah.
And that's, you know,
it's a whole evening.
That's a whole evening.
Yeah,
and
that's nice.
You come in just for one of those three normal experiences. A lounge experience with the light appetizers and, you know, beverages. You have your coffee and dessert option, and then you have, obviously, your main dining.
That's
so
right.
I feel like it gives you three reasons, and a lot of restaurants you're not comfortable sitting at a table just to get coffee and
or
dessert.
Or a couch. Yeah.
So, but now you can... No, you can come in and there's spaces for each of those styles of dining, whatever you're in the mood for. And we're open late. We're open till midnight, 7 days a week.
Nice.
Open at 11 for lunch and then brunch Saturday and Sunday at 10.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the food at Finca and the Spanish wines at Finca and a little bit about the future of dining in downtown Salt Lake City. We will be back after these messages. We are back. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. Joining me today, my good friend, Scott Evans. Scott is the owner and proprietor of multiple restaurants in Salt Lake City. Pago, one of the most celebrated restaurants in our community. Finca, which has been incredibly successful and just relocated to the downtown area. Hence your appearance on the show today.
Happy to be here.
And then you're working on a couple of other concepts, East Liberty Tap House and Hub and Spoke Eatery. And I want to talk about those briefly as well.
Yeah.
So we talked about tapas and this idea of dining and small dining. Mm-hmm. Where does the inspiration come from? I mean, you mentioned you get to go to Spain at least once a year, which is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you compose the food? How do you think of the food?
Yeah.
How would you describe the food at Finca?
Some of the stuff from visiting Spain, and actually just went last April with Chef Felix.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us got to go out there and go to a big food and wine festival, Alimentaria. and then travel through northern Spain together and kind of solidify some things. The food was intended to be contemporary Spanish food, which means, you know, you're inspired by the ingredients, the flavors, but you're not following strict, you know, a rote recipe.
Right.
Some of the dishes, just based on their simplicity, are very much traditional. And some things are not.
Right, yeah, so right.
But what I loved about dining in contemporary Spain versus my first times even in 1998 visiting there, contemporary Spain, the main markets, they're inspired by regions and they're inspired by their produce. And it's very much the farm-to-table mantra in Spain, same thing in France and, you know, Italy as well. But it was really cool to see how much Spanish food, the top restaurants in Spain were modernizing their dining and their, you know, it's notoriously stubborn in a lot of regions for not, you know, normally the people in the northern parts of Spain will not cook any dishes from the south and east and west, the same thing. So what was cool to see some of the top restaurants dabble and grab things from, you know, this is from North Africa, this is from Morocco, this is a little Italian inspired. Not that our food is like that, but it, a contemporary Spanish restaurant in Spain is very much like Finca in my mind.
Yeah.
Like what we're doing, where
a little more creative, a little more innovative.
Innovative, new techniques. Exactly.
And but Finca means farm, right?
It does.
I'm not a native Spanish speaker, obviously, but So that makes a lot of sense, that idea of fresh farm.
It's not just buzzwords. It's really
it's
mantra from, you know, the very beginning and why I opened Pago and kind of that's how they're all tied together.
Yeah.
That's why Pago actually means farm and vineyard as well.
Yeah.
In Castilian Spanish. But that's kind of the tie-in, is that, you know, utilizing the best ingredients we can that happen to be local and seasonal, because they taste better when they're in season. That's just, it's not that complicated.
Right.
But then we, you know, add Spanish flavors to it. So it's fun, beautiful flavors, a lot of spices that you don't see outside of Spain.
Yeah.
I'm happy that Chef Felix is creating this food for me to eat regularly, because he's far better chef than I would ever become.
That's really outstanding. I want to talk a little bit about your other two concepts, the things that you're working on right now and have opened or soon to open. I think the Tap House just opened as well. Like you're a busy guy.
Yes, it's been busy.
So East Liberty Tap House.
East Liberty Tap House is kind of open. So no, it's opening this week. We have one little permitting thing we're tackling, and then we'll be open. You know, all of the menu had a soft launch party, and now we are just wrapping up final details and be open to the public as soon as we possibly can.
Very cool.
Hopefully this weekend.
Okay. And then Hub and Spoke Eatery that's in the old space that you formerly occupied where Finca moved from.
Exactly. Yeah. So we love the location. We don't want to abandon the neighbors in that hood, but we also, part of the reason for moving as well was parking was an issue for Finca. We had hoped that more people would walk to the restaurant, and we did get support from the neighborhood, but most of our guests were driving and our parking lot couldn't accommodate that.
Right.
Part of the vision was to keep the space, develop a concept that would offset the parking needs so we could get a larger percentage of folks walking in, taking their strollers, riding their bikes, and then softening the space a little bit. For Hub and Spoke Eatery, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 7 a.m. place, I think...
makes a lot of sense.
I think it's going to be perfect for that neighborhood, and it's another option. We're not trying to push out any of the other great breakfast options, but we really do feel like we're going to be a fairly unique breakfast option. You know, they call them breakfast, lunch, and dinner restaurants, 3 meal a day. So that's what we want to do, and have really approachable food, same mantra, make everything in-house, fresh sausages. That's what Hub and Spoke will be as well, is a, you know, inspired version of a diner, what a modern diner would be. And that's East Liberty Tap House is a modern version of a tavern.
Nice.
Hub and Spoke, we hope to open into January, early February. We'll just see.
I'm impressed you're standing.
Going.
You got a lot going on.
It's actually pleasant to sit down. Thanks for
allowing
me to sit down.
20 minutes of sitting down. as we wrap up, you know, I know you're good friends with Ryan Lauder. Yes. I mean, you got a great relationship with other chefs. You got obviously a good relationship with your former colleagues at Squatters. And I'd be interested in just sort of how you see Salt Lake's dining scene evolving. I'm really excited about it as someone who eats out a ton. I am really thrilled about the direction that we're going, but you're on the inside. What do you think's happening with Salt Lake's dining scene? Where are we headed?
I think it's pretty amazing, to be honest. I think there's definitely gaps that we're filling, but we have the right talent here to fill it. You know, I think Ryan did a good job of that. I think Naked Fish and Viet and their project's going to fill that really well.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of talented people. I have the David Harry's project on 3rd and 3rd with Michael Trapp and Joel LaSalle. They're, you know, people are filling in every need. And I honestly, the more the merrier. We're elevating the whole, you know, dining scene. In the last 5 years since we've opened Pago, or almost six, the whole, you know, restaurant community is just really, really kind of coming to its own. And I think it rivals any city.
A lot of cities bigger than ours. Yeah,
several times a week where our out-of-town guests come in and say, I cannot believe how great the dining scene is here.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening with Salt Lake restaurants and hospitality and the bars and the cocktail programs and the beer programs with Beer Bar and Bar X. The goal for me opening Pago, which I think the city is doing the same thing, all these other restaurateurs and chefs are, let's have great food, let's make great restaurants, let's have great hotels and lodgings and let's do all of that that's great anywhere in the world. Doesn't matter what city you're in, but we're going to do great food that's relevant in this market, but it would be great anywhere.
Yeah.
I think that's the big shift, is people not thinking about what's safe, what do we need to do to get, you know, to get the most people. It's let's do the best thing we can do. What
and
are we
the
best
people will
at?
Follow.
And then they'll come.
Yeah.
I mean, TV hasn't hurt. You know, all the Food Network stuff has really just made people aware and did a lot of the education that restaurants have to do in other markets. You know, the first Indian restaurant in a neighborhood has to teach
prove
people
itself.
How to eat.
Yeah, you got
to
prove
it. Well, they have to teach people how to do it. First,
right.
Tapas, same thing. We had to teach people how many dishes. And we're not necessarily teaching, but we had to show by example, well, how many tapas should I order?
Right.
Well, it depends on what you get. You know, right. But over time, I've noticed, even in 3 years for Finca, you're explaining less and less. You know, the dining community is just impressing me.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about Salt Lake and I love about the dining scene, my hired a director of operations. He just came from L.A. and he came from the top restaurants in L.A. and he loves it. And what he noticed, which is great from an outside perspective, and he's only been here for a couple months, was the dining community is so amazing here because they actually want you to succeed. They come into your restaurants and they want you to do well.
It's very collegiate. People really like each other and work together to help each other out.
Yeah, and not only just restaurant to restaurant, peer to peer, it's also our guests are so much, you know, they're so much more excited about having a diverse offering, having a new place that's filling a need, and they really support you rather than challenge you. You know, and I think that's pretty special. Like, our dining community is great. We appreciate them, and we always send each other, all of our own guests, they, you know, if they haven't been to any of these other great restaurants, we make sure they know where they are and
send them that way.
And send them that way. Yeah. And that's pretty special. There's not too many markets that can say that.
Well, Scott, thanks so much. Congratulations on the new opening of Finca and all your other big plans. Big fan, and just can't wait to support you and really wish you the best of luck in everything that you're doing. It's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.